Hey, everyone, welcome to High T Hoops. This is Brian Beauchet at the Duke of Hoops. And today I am so excited to bring on a very special guest, Holly Winterburn from the London Lions. What's up, Holly? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So let's start at the top, because I went to your Euro Cup qualifier last Thursday where you blew out Spa Gran Canaria. I think I'm pronouncing that right. 76-46. You're in Spain right now at the second leg going into it. And I just want to, off the top, what is the attitude of the team going into a second leg when you have that much of a lead? Is coach like, hey, don't worry about like the lead that you have going into it. Let's stay focused. Or what is the attitude when you do have such a huge lead going into a second leg?
I think it's hard because this is the first time, I think most of us, if all of us, have played in like a two-game aggregate like series kind of thing. So it's new to all of us. So I think we are all taking it as, yeah, we won by 30. Like, forget about it. We're in Spain now. That was in London. We're going in and we have to win this game. Like, yeah, we, in the back of our minds, we know we're up, but like they've got some players back and we've had two games at the weekend, like, and anything can happen in basketball. So we're going in and we are going to make the first, like, because I think that's what was great for us in the first game. Like, we were up by 25 at the half. Like, we made the first punch, and I think we're just going in and, like, if anything, we're going to go harder because we know we can compete. We know we're the level we can play at, so we're just going to get back to that.
Yeah. That, what do you think about aggregate? If, as an American coming in, it feels very unbasketball because that was like the BBL, WBBL play, or the BBL playoffs. It's like, oh, like, you tied? Like, you can tie a game in the aggregate? What do you think of the aggregate system? Does it, like, hurt your heart as a basketball player?
I like it. I mean, it makes it more interesting the second game. Cause if we'd have, if it was like a 3-game series or something like that, like, we won the game in the first quarter, really last game. And it's like, oh, then like the game's not really interesting, but we were playing the whole time. And I think the draw, they could maybe do something about, you still have to win the game. Like, you can't end on a draw just cause that's weird, but it's new, it's different. And you just got to adapt to it. Like, we don't make the rules, we just follow them. So I don't mind it.
Well, that's a great point. You would have been pulled pretty early from that game on Thursday night at Crystal Palace, but you kept, you know, the gas pedal on. You played the entire game. You were really aggressive. I mean, the team was really gelling, but you were attacking. What was kind of your attitude going into that game? Because you were driving, you were kicking, you're attacking constantly.
I think it was, we've had a long preseason. We haven't had the easiest like road with like injuries and people like visa issues and all that. So I think we were just so ready to go out there and show what we can do. Like, a little team from England playing in Euro Cup, we just had that like fight in us. And it was like, because that first off performance was like for our first game, was we couldn't have asked for any more. So that was like the top of the top, like, and then the second half, you kind of showed our like flaws and stuff like that. So we were just going in hungry, like fighting for it. And we need to learn how to, I guess, adapt to the game, like, more tactically and stuff. But we couldn't have asked for more in our first half. So
yeah, and it was really cool to see crowds back, you know, after a year and a half of just empty arenas, which is crazy. And that was my first time at Crystal Palace. I hear it's a little bit of a legendary arena. It was your first time playing there?
Yeah, my first time. First time ever going there. Yeah, obviously we practiced there a couple of days before, but I've never been there. And
yeah, I wish the vending machines would have worked, or they would have served, you know, some sort of drinks or
everyone
something.
Everyone was saying that. Yeah,
it was hot, and there was like no water, no convenience, but the crowd was really fun. I mean, you had a lot. I think that the stream, we talked about this on Twitter, but the stream was only showing like the opposite side where there were no fans, but there were a lot of fans, and there was like people that were getting really excited. What was it like playing in front of a crowd again?
It was great. And it's, I think I forgot how much a crowd can lift you up and how like exciting it is to play in front of a crowd. And also, like, when I obviously played in Oregon, we played in front of thousands of people. And then I came from that to nothing. And my parents, I moved back home. My parents haven't seen me play since I played in Oregon. So it was nice to have them there. Yeah. And just see like familiar faces, see like some big faces and stuff. So it was great. It was a really good turnout for us.
It was really fun to see that again. And before we kind of dive into the London Lions and you joining this season, I just want to rewind a little bit. So I'm learning a lot about how different players in the UK are kind of going through the academy systems, get raised playing basketball. It still shocks me of like we had Ashley Hamilton on, Will Saunders, where they start playing so late in life. So how did you really get into basketball in the UK? What was your journey like?
So I started playing like at school. I went to my school from when I was 2 to 16. But when I was in like the primary school, which is like, I think elementary in America, they like a company called Hot Shots came in and I just did lunchtime sessions on a Friday and all my friends did it. And it was just like, it's like £2 a session, whatever. And we just went along and just played. Like it was just fun. It was complete just fun. And I, cause I always played football and every other sport, but I always played football. So basketball was just a bit of fun to me. And then
How old was Hot Shots?
I think I must have been maybe like seven when I started it. Yeah. And I just like carried on playing until I was 11. And then one of my friends joined the local basketball club, which was Northants Basketball Club or Northants Lightning at the time. And he was just like, oh, come along. Cause I was playing with the boys team and I just went along and the coach was like, oh, like, I think you could be good at this and stuff. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I've got football. Like, sorry, can't come on these days. And then as I like started to do more of it, I started to enjoy it more, and because then I found like I was good at it, it made me more interested. And then one day I just was like, yeah, okay, I'll choose basketball. And from there, I think I was 11 when I started playing like National League, it's called.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of years I moved to a WL team in Leicester, and then yeah, the rest is history kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, it's good that you're 5'11", so probably a good move going from football to basketball. With what, how early on did you get to that height? Was it like, oh, okay, I'm getting to like be a taller player, like this might be a better fit for me? Was there like was it a skill based thing? Was it like, oh, my height is really affecting this?
I don't know. I've always been the tallest, like out of all my friends in the class and everything like that at school. Because when I first like started to take it seriously, they're like, oh, should we make her a guard or a post? And I was I didn't even know what that meant at the time. And they were like, oh no, like let's try and make her a guard first. Because it's kind of that time where times were changing that you had to like have to be able to do guards moves too. So I'm really glad that they made me a guard, because
seriously,
I'm not going to be big enough to be a big. So yeah, it was just kind of just, I don't remember the actual decision making. Yeah, I'm going to choose basketball. It kind of just became apparent that that's where I was going to be more successful. So
yeah, it's kind of a running joke in the States of like AAU coaches and high school coaches just like going into the middle schools and like, all right, you're over 6 feet, you're playing basketball. Yeah. like rope them in and get into it. But then you played at Oregon, so I moved here from Seattle, so UW, like I got to watch Kelsey Plum in person. Like those UW games were so much fun. What was it like going over and playing college basketball in the States? Obviously like thousands of fans, like it's a huge arena, the Oregon basketball program, I think what you were number two in the country. So what was it like experiencing that firsthand?
I think the more like I think about my college experience and I hear other people's, like mine was incredible. Like I couldn't have asked for anymore, really. Like I was playing under Sabrina and Satu. We had everything given to us. Like we lived such an amazing lifestyle. And like my first game was against USA and it was like 16,000-17,000 people there. We won and it was just a dream. Like I can't even describe what it was like. And I think now going back to it, it's like I wish I'd taken it in a bit more and like recognized how like privileged I was and how much of an amazing opportunity it was. And you know, I still say that it wasn't for me like long-term, but I wouldn't give up that. Well, I mean, I fully believe we would have won a national championship.
Yeah.
So like, obviously I'm sad about that I didn't get to experience it all, but those 8 months I got, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the highest scale of basketball in the States, basically. Like college, I don't think people realize how big college basketball and college football are in the States coming from the UK, but that is like the pinnacle and those games are incredible. So yeah, it's pretty amazing to see that. And we have actually a listener question here. So Vlad from the Cheshire Phoenix asked, what was Sabrina like off the court?
Oh, I don't know if I can get her into trouble or not, but she
don't
was
get her into
crazy.
Trouble.
She was crazy. She was like life of the party, funny, outgoing, like, but also so caring. Like, I could go to her for anything I needed. I could go to her, like I could still text her now and she would do anything kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she was really humble, like worked hard on her game, but then also like, she had the balance, right? She knew when to like stop and when to like take time for herself. And I mean, you see her now playing in the WNBA, and she's like, she's going to be great. Like, she's going to be so good. But the person behind her is just special.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of personalities on that team. Like, Sedona Prince has gone viral on TikTok, and she is blowing up. Like, there's so many personalities on that team.
Yeah, I mean, because we went into summer school, like, me, Jazz, Lucy, like, with a freshman, we lived together. And like, Sedona was like, she had just transferred.
Yeah.
And coming from England, like, there is, like, there's no one like Sedona, period. But, like, there's definitely not an English person like Sedona.
Yeah.
And she just... I think the first time I met her, we were walking to, like, it's called the Jake, or, like, the academic center. She was like, oh, I'll race you there, and just started running. I was like, right. And she was just, yeah, another really just special person that I'm glad to have met. And she's doing amazing herself right now. And
yeah,
she's been through a really hard time with her injury and everything like that. So credit to her. Like, she's living her life.
Yeah. And then what really, I know you've rehashed this, but there's a lot of excitement when you decided to come back to the WBBL, play for the Riders, now for the Lions. So it really excited you about the opportunity to get back into British basketball.
I think it's a hard one because I have to be careful what I say, because a lot of people jump on it and, oh, now everyone shouldn't go to the States. Everyone should come and play here. Mm. And you know, it's
a sensitive topic.
It's a really
topic.
Hard one.
When I was getting to know the British basketball community, yeah, it's like there's a lot of debate around what's best for players, what should we be pushing them into. It's a hotter topic than I would expect. Mm. So yeah, don't get yourself in trouble, but it's exciting to see players like you actually come back to the WBBL.
Yeah, and I think that's like, you hit the nail on the head. You have to do what's best for the player, and every single player is so individual, and everyone has different needs and different goals and everything, and it has to be a case-by-case basis. You can't say, oh, Holly's come back now, everyone has to come back. Like, no, like Cam Hildreth just gone to Wake Forest, and
yeah,
like, everyone's like, oh, he should go, he should stay, he should play for London, he should go to play in Europe. Like, but has anyone actually asked him what he wants to do? Like,
mm-hmm.
You have to, as a player too, I wish before I'd gone, I'd really sat down and with myself and be like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to achieve. Because I kind of just went because it's a done thing. Not saying I wouldn't have gone, because I was still probably would have gone and had that year at Oregon. But
yeah,
I think coming back for me, if COVID wasn't a thing too, would I be back here? Yeah. I don't know if I would have had that opportunity to think about it. But I definitely think it's worked out great for me, but it doesn't work out. Like, America doesn't work out for everyone, but it does for some people. So
yeah,
it's hard. Like, it's really hard to put a definite answer. Oh, I'm really happy to be back for this, this, and this, because I can't say that for everyone.
Yeah.
But for me, it worked out and I'm happy I've done it. So.
Yeah, there's so many more paths now. Like, when I grew up, it was really, okay, you're going to get recruited by a D1 school, then you're going to go D1, then you're going to try to go pro. But now there's like professional high school leagues, like Overtime Elite.
Yeah.
You can go professional. People aren't going to D1. Like, they're going to the NBL in Australia. A lot of people are not even going pro afterward, and they're just kind of turning that into a, you know, creator career, or a, you know, whatever their profession is after basketball. So yeah, it is so individual and there's so many paths, but you did turn to the dark. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think there is a real market for, because obviously I kept the real decision making why I could stay in England, because I got my degree paid for and I was able to study too. Like, I'm still a student athlete kind of thing. So I think the UK can be that if people, because right now a lot of people come and do masters playing the BBL and playing the WBL. It can be like a league that people come that don't want to play pro straight away and still want to get their degree, but can do both kind of thing. Like, I think that's worth exploring, but I don't know. That's
There's
what,
so
for
many
someone
options
else to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, you turned to the dark side. You turned to my team, the London Lions, from the Riders this season. What excited you to kind of, I mean, I'm going to call it a super team because I'm a fan and I can be totally biased, but I got to see, you know, the WBBL finals with, you know, Kennedy last season and Shanice, and like seeing them tear through the league. You guys had a chance too, but they were pretty good as a biased fan. So what had you kind of excited to join this
squad?
We
beat them twice, and I haven't let them forget that we beat them twice.
Yeah, we had Christina Gaskin on. She has a question later in this pod, but we had her on last season too. So yeah, it was fun to see those rivalries crop up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough one, and I don't know how much people know about what happened over the summer and everything. But I made a move for whatever reason, whatever anyone wants to say about it. I made the move because I was going to stagnate in Leicester, to be honest. Like, I don't think it would have pushed me enough. I wanted to be around players that were like better than me and played at a higher level and stuff like that. So yeah, like for me, it was a no-brainer. I wanted to play against people that were going to push me every day. Mm-hmm. And off the court as well, like I knew Azalea and Joe were going to be here and stuff like that. So like to be under them and learn what they, let them tell me what they've been through and them kind of enforce that on me. Like, no, you can't turn up to practice day and just, oh, I'm just going to coach practice day. Like I probably could have done at Leicester. Just because that the standard is just so much higher here, and nothing bad on Leicester. What London is doing is new, and it's pushing the league so high and everything like that. But for me, it was also playing in Europe, like no brainer. But just the standard, the professionalism, everything like that. That's what I wanted. That's what I craved, and London was just the right choice.
Yeah. Well, for me coming in, I coming from the States, I don't have as much of a background in Euro Cup or, wasn't something on our radar as much. So what would it mean to British basketball, to your team and to you to kind of get into Euro Cup and qualify?
Well, just playing in the qualifiers, that was such a huge deal. We've been able to field a team where 777, our sponsors are like, yeah, we'll put you in Europe because we believe in you. And even to be at that level is great. And then for us to go and qualify would just show that we can do it and it's possible and it's not going anywhere, not going anywhere kind of thing, and we can do it year in, year out. And what's to say another team like Seven Oaks, like Leicester, can't join us there? It's like the starting block, and I think it's really exciting to see what we can do this year, but then looking at a 5-10 year kind of plan for the team, for the league, it's just going to elevate it, British basketball in general.
You're paving the way. And it's exciting to see. Is there any friendly rivalry with the men's team of you guys didn't qualify, you got close, but we're going to actually do it this year? Is there any banter like that back and forth at all?
Not really. I mean, we want both our teams there, and we haven't really mixed with the men's team too much just because we train at different times, everything like that. But I know that we'll be at their games, they'll be at ours, and we're just pushing to both be the best teams in the league and both do well in Europe. So. But if anyone can qualify, I'd want it to be the women's.
Exactly. last year was heartbreaking. I think it was the last possession they didn't get into the next round. This year, Treviso was so good. They ended up qualifying. Yeah. But it's fun to see the women get so successful. Right after you beat the team by 30, I think they lost by, or they were down by 30 at a point, but they took a beating there. Let's go into getting to know the team a little bit more. So this team looks like has a lot of personalities. I've gotten to know a few of the different players over, especially this summer with all the 3-on-3 stuff. So I'm going to run through rapid fire questions just off the top of your head. You don't have to get yourself in trouble. I'm not trying to get you in trouble on this podcast with any of these questions. All right. Funniest on the team.
Chantel. And if she watches this, I'm sure someone will tell her. Her facial expressions leave me dying. Dying. She's so funny.
Best dressed?
I don't really know. We haven't really done anything where we've dressed up, but probably Chantel. She has some cool shoes.
All right.
This is a Chantel fan page now.
But, exactly. Who has best hops on the team?
Shanice,
yeah, seriously.
Shanice, yeah, she's getting every single rebound, even if there's a 6-7 guy in there. So
yeah, I got a great shot of her where she's 3 feet in the air, getting sprawled out, fouled at the game last Thursday, where she's just so high and flailing. Yeah. But man, yeah, she can get up. Most likely to make the team run sprints.
Valentina. She'll do something wrong.
This is
my roommate actually, but she's not here.
Maybe a similar question. Who is late to the bus? Who's most likely to be late to the bus?
No one's been late yet, but when we did that pass the phone too, and everyone said Steph's late to everything. So I'm going to say Steph, but I haven't seen it. So.
Okay. That's fair. It's early in the season, so we'll get there. Who is the team mom? Who likes to take care of everyone?
Well, we have a team mom with Joe. True. She's actually a mom, but Joe and Azania, they can take that role together. They just, they're honest. They keep us humble. They keep us composed. And they're definitely the parents, so to say.
Biggest trash talker.
See, I've experienced this firsthand playing against them. And they were scary. Yeah. I told them that I'm scared of them before I came here. But probably Chantel. Probably Chantelle or Shanice or Paige. They've always got something funny to say.
Paige too. Paige just seems so nice. The big smile, she'll trash talk. Exactly.
She's so nice and so caring. But when she gets angry, it's raps.
Who is best one-on-one player? Who would you not want to face off with?
I would actually say Shanice, just because she is so fast. And over the past few, she's got a jumper going now. It's really, really hard to guard her because you can't stay in front of her. And to be able to stay in front of her, you have to drop back so much and then she'll shoot it. So one-on-one, I would say Shanice.
Okay. And last one, most likely to be an influencer after their basketball career or during?
Paige. Yeah, Paige. You've seen Paige's account already. She's loving life. Yeah, she loves all that stuff.
Love it. Okay, we're getting through those. You did great. I don't think you threw anyone under the bus. You're not going to get in trouble for that from teammates. My favorite TikTok trend, though, for teams is who on the team? I think the Liberty just did this. Or no, the Aces just did this, where it's who would you not let date your son?
I think she did it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if she posted it. I'll check after. But I think she did one.
Those are really funny. But you can get in trouble for those, too. So Christina Gaskin has a question. When you have a talented team who on paper can be really successful, what are the next two most important factors for success?
I think first of all, we have so many talented players that could go on to another team and be the star player on the team. Mm-hmm. So I think first of all, everyone has to know their role and do their role really well. And even if it's not something they're used to, I have a different role this year than I've had in any other year. Mm-hmm. But you've got to embrace that role, do it to the best of your ability. And also just chemistry, just learning how to play together, because the most talented team doesn't always win and usually doesn't win because there's egos, there's this, there's that. We have to really come together, which I think we've done a great job of, but it's just have to come together.
For the first game, I was the ball movement was crazy. What have you done to get that chemistry? Because it seemed like it happened so fast. And I know you didn't have too long to train, right?
Mm. Yeah, because our Americans got in really late. Mm-hmm. Zane Jones has been dealing with a bit of injuries. Leah's been dealing with injuries. So we haven't had a load amount of numbers at practice. The Barking girls have helped us a lot out with that. But I think it's just everyone just buying into the game plan, buying into the team, gelling off the court. There's not one person I can go and speak to about anything I needed. So everyone just having each other's backs and respecting each other and knowing what each other can do. And it's just, that first half was really just a show of how good we can be and how good we are. So,
yeah, I mean, I take photos for part of it and then I shoot video for another part. And I felt like every time I was shooting video, there were 17 passes in a row that ended up in a wide open three-pointer or a wide open layup or something. And I was like, Jesus, this team is clicking really early. So chemistry's one. Is there a second? Christina asked for two.
Yeah,
two-part question for Christina.
Knowing the role kind of thing. I mean, knowing that the role. Kind of Got chemistry, it. But yeah. But I think also with our chemistry, Kennedy does a great job of setting us, running the team and just starting that motion when the ball's in her hands, everyone feels safe kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that starts with her, and she's obviously an amazing player and has a great future and stuff like that. But she's really, really started that for us.
Yeah. Because she can score, it seems like at will, but I think she's the all-time leader in assists for the WBBL already. So distribution. Yeah. That's insane. All right, we're moving off basketball for Mr. Jay Breezy. He has a question as well, at Mr. Jay Breezy. What are your career goals? What do you want to do after basketball?
See, this is a tough one, because if you asked me a couple of years ago, it'd be completely different to now. But for me, I just want to play at the highest level possible for the longest possible. I'm fine, because I've struggled in the past with confidence in myself and in my game and stuff like that. But now I'm learning to, with the support of other people around me, it's been incredible. But I'm really finding that, I can be good at this and I can go far and I can make some money in basketball. At the top level, there's money there. And it's a career choice for me now, rather than just a, not side hobby, but do you know what I mean? Usually people have a career, play basketball. But for me, basketball is going to be my career, and I've got to do everything I can to stay healthy and get better and learn off other people. So my career goal is also with the national team. I loved playing for the national team when I was younger, and trying to recreate and carry on from that success they had at Eurobasket a few years ago. Like, we're going to have a new generation of people coming through very soon. So I think taking that and being as successful as we can in that, and also in my personal career too.
Yeah. I feel like the women's side for GB is really kind of paving the way as well. And that's where we're going to see it. It reminds me a lot of women's soccer or football in the States, where the women always blow the men out of the water and kind of lead there. But yeah, it's been fun to see that as well. You're not going to be an influencer during your basketball career? No page in the near future? No YouTube channels or anything?
Page. I mean, I thought I would love to do it, but I just feel like I'm just awkward. I'm too awkward for that.
You work your way into it. Dip your toe in the water. It'll be fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so funny too. I've talked to the Lions about this, where it's like the men just do not want to post on social media. Like, there's a lot of basketball men who don't want to post. And I just had Jesse Chukwu on the podcast, who has become like a mega influencer. And he said that he's like, there's a stigma. He's like, I felt weird posting stuff because I didn't want to like go on a 3-game losing streak and then be like, hey, I'm TikTok, bottle of water. Like, it's just an awkward thing. But, you know, it doesn't really change people's perception of you. So you can be, you can have your awkward YouTube channel.
Maybe you can follow me. You can be my first follower because no one else is going to follow me.
Okay. Here's the last question. This is an easy one, or maybe not that easy. What advice would you give to young British players coming up right now?
Oh, that's a tough one. Just carry on doing what's best for you. And that doesn't mean what's easy, don't stay in your comfort zone, but, oh, this is easy for me, I'm going to stay here. If moving to a different team, or if missing that party on Saturday night is going to be best for you and your goals as a basketball player, then do it. But if basketball isn't for you and you just do it to enjoy, that's fine. Like, just do what's best for you, and don't let anyone tell you how to do something or what to do. Obviously, listen to your coaches and everything like that, but you know your best, you know yourself best, and you know, like, don't, you can't lie to yourself deep down. You can't. So just do what's best for you, work hard, and see where life takes you.
Yeah, that's great advice. Good luck tomorrow. I think it's free streaming, right? There's links going around.
Yeah,
I think we can stream for free, but best of luck. We'll all be rooting for you here in the UK and in London. Any other drops you want to make? Shout outs?
No, I don't think
so. No plugs? Okay, great. Just watch the London Lions tomorrow.
Plug my YouTube channel that I haven't made yet. Yeah,
Holly's YouTube. Holly's Awkward YouTube. All right, Holly, thank you so much.
Thank you.